Today, we're going to talk about Mark in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to cover our third message in this Gospel. I haven't made it past what verse, 15, and we're already like three messages in. There's so much in here. I don't know. It's just so rich. This message this week I've entitled Feet on Earth, Mind in Heaven. Feet on Earth, Mind in Heaven. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 1. Today's message is only two verses. Chapter 1, verse 12. Immediately the Spirit drove him, being Jesus, into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Father, this morning, I pray, Father, you help us to see what you want to show us in the scripture. Let it be powerful and life-changing, Father. Thank you for each heart here that is opening up to you, Father. Use your word to guide our lives and direct our lives. We love the word of God. Let not me interject my opinions, but Lord, your word and your truths. In Jesus' name, amen. This is only two sentences, but Mark says a lot in two sentences. And again, you see Mark starting off with immediately. When you have a new believer or somebody that recently came to the Lord, if you want to point them to the Bible and if they ask you where to read, where should I start? Start with Mark. Mark reads so, it's like bam, 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 immediately this, immediately that. He says in two verses what Luke says in 14 verses. It's just this happened, this happened, this happened, but there's something really important here that I want to concentrate on that some of the other Gospels maybe not their focus, and that is one word. Wilderness. Well, when we think of wilderness, Derek, he likes to go hiking and up into the mountains. We think of wilderness, we can think of like up in the mountains, go up to Shasta, get out in the wilderness, trees and birds and just beauty. But this is not the wilderness in which Satan directed Jesus into. That wilderness that he directed Satan into is barren, desolate. It's a wasteland. Our story, as we share next week, there are wilderness events in our story. You know, quite often we would wake up with our son in the hospital and wonder, is he going to survive this cancer? Is he going to survive all this that he was going through? And it was scary. It was a wilderness. And when he passed away, it's like almost like we went into another wilderness. And then after that, my wife and I was like, we just want to share how amazing God is and how amazing he's been through us in this five-year journey with our son. And we just started sharing in our living room. Is there anyone here that started in our living room? And that, yeah, these guys right here, they started in our living room. It was just the living room. And we just began to share the Lord, and it grew. And so we decided we were out of room, and we got invited to meet at a restaurant. And it was a fairly small restaurant, and we're meeting there, but we were running out of room there, and I believe that God sent us a word that he was going to give us a building, and he fulfilled that word, and we wound up opening up a little storefront church on Center Street in Anderson, and we ministered to a lot of people, and it was a lot of street people, a lot of homeless people, and so we had this plan. The Lord told us that I said to the Lord one day in prayer, before we got the building, I said, Lord, if we had a building, we can feed people. And the Lord says, you're going to feed him out of the front door, not out of the back door. And so when Les Baugh, the county supervisor, showed us this building that he had, it had a kitchen in it. And we went around back to see what the back looked like, and there was no back door. We said, this is it. This is our building. We just began to declare this was our building. And sure enough, we got this building, and we got to feed people. So this was our program. It was always on a Sunday night and a Thursday night, was it? Sunday and Thursday. And we would open the church up, and we would make everyone that was a part of our little group would meet, and we would make food. And you can come in and go through, anybody can come in, go through the little buffet line, get food, sit down. We had all tables, chairs, and then a little podium. And while they were eating, I would stand up and share the word of God. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just loving it. Just loving it. And God was doing some incredible things through that. And then something happened. And we found ourselves in an issue that it seemed like this little building and this little ministry was going to change. And my wife and I were traveling down south, and I said to her, you know what? We just need to hear from God in this. We need to know what God wants to do in this. And Gina just blurted out Isaiah 43:19. And I'm like, what? And so I grabbed my Bible. I'm like, let's look and see. Is this even in the Bible? Lord, let there be an Isaiah 43:19. You know, I'm pretty fresh at this. And I opened the Bible, and the Word of God says, for I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. That was an amazing aha moment for us, because it's like, I don't fall off. I can trust in the Lord. I've never been down here before. How are you guys doing? Good to see you. I can trust in the Lord in every wilderness situation. I don't know about you, but I am not afraid of the wilderness. It doesn't scare me at all. I've been in some of the worst wilderness terrains that you can imagine. Holding your son's hand as he passes away, that's a wilderness, a deep wilderness. But my God has been faithful in every wilderness, and he says, I'm about to do something new. And so at that time, we had our little church, and the pastor here, which you guys heard a couple weeks ago, he got to share with you, but he invited Gene and I to come and speak on a Sunday. And then he would go to our little church and speak for us. And I'm like, that's a great deal. We love this church. We grew up in this church. And it was a really good deal. But my wife and I says, we need to hear from God. That's our home church, to, you know, so to speak. And so while we're there, we really need to hear from God. And then we'll know what to do. So we go and we're preaching this message, having a great time, seeing the friends and family that we love so much. And service got over, and we didn't really hear from God. But we were in the car going to lunch, and Gina's reading through their bulletin. She says, oh, my goodness, do you see what their scripture for the year is? I'm like, no, what? It's Isaiah 43:19. I'm like, I get it. So it turned out that God brought us through that river, made a river through the wasteland, and brought us back here to pastor the church that our son grew up in. Amazing part of the story. But it's interesting, the word that Mark uses here that nobody else uses. He says, immediately Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, that word drove is not like we would, you know, understand drive. You know, it's not like it's not like Satan pulled up and said, Jesus, get in. We're driving to the desert. We're going to have a road trip. That's not what that is. That's not the drove. That drove is a powerful word that means to demand or cause one to depart in a haste. Demand or cause one to depart in a haste. One day in our little building, I was preaching a message, and there was a lot of homeless people there, and we just loved on the people of the street there and just got to know them really well. And as I'm speaking, along the storefront windows, I can see this guy walking, homeless guy walking up towards our building, and he's going to come in. And the Lord says to me, he's coming to disrupt, and he's not to come in here. Okay, so as soon as he opened the door, I said, the Lord says you're not to come in here. And he goes, oh. And he turned around and he walked away. The Spirit of God drove him out of the building. It was weird, but it was good. Later, I found out that that guy is a very disruptive guy. He has a disruptive spirit on him, and he just causes trouble wherever he goes. So God knew long before I knew. But here's Jesus being driven into the wilderness. And as if it's not enough that he's going to the wilderness, this wilderness has wild beasts. Wild beasts. Maybe today you feel like the wilderness that you're in has wild beasts that are just seeking to devour you, seeking to destroy you, seeking to take your life in this situation, so to speak. The problem that you and I often face when we're in a wilderness situation is the more we focus upon that wilderness situation, the bigger it seems to get. This is a really big deal. Something's got to happen here. This is big. There's no way. I honestly don't think even God knew this was coming. It's that big. He must have been busy over there. There's so much trouble in the Middle East right now. He is busy over there. He missed it. And the problem with that is so often is our prayers turn into nothing more than telling the Lord all the things that he missed. Where you're gone, Lord, you know, you missed this. Now I'm in this wilderness, and there's wild beasts all around me. Elisha was facing a very similar situation in 2 Kings, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. He has this servant, Elisha. And the servant says, so one night the king of Aram sent a great army and many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God, the servant of Elisha, got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. It wasn't like, hey, what are we going to do about this? No, he cried to Elisha. We do this so often in our wilderness experience. We're crying out to the Lord. We're crying out for help. We're going to talk to our spiritual leader or our pastor or our friend. And this is horrible. Something has to happen. Elisha says, don't be afraid. For there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now, that's really cool, but if your opening statement is, Elisha to the servant is, don't be afraid, and then all of a sudden you can see horses with chariots of fire, how many know that would be a little scary? That was a little frightening. There's something I'd like, Lord, I don't need to know. Just do what you do. I don't want it. I mean, that's some powerful stuff. Chariots of fire. But the enemy's chariots weren't chariots of fire. The enemy's chariots weren't as many as the horses and chariots that Elisha was having his servant see. And far too often we're staring at the obvious and missing the spiritual realities all around us. When you and I realize that there are literally horses with chariots of fire all around you in your wilderness situation, everything should change. Your thoughts should change. Your response should change. The realities of the situation should change. Your perspective should change. Your biases should change. But sometimes, this is the part that I think that we so often miss. I'm talking about me, but you can be a part of this too, that our spiritual insight isn't always free. It's a bit expensive. And a lot of times that spiritual insight comes from being in the wilderness. I put this on Facebook last week. So many people want to do ministry along with the joys of life, just not the burden of life. There was no biblical standard for such a position. If your heart is for ministry, better dig your heels in and expect some of life's challenges. But in these life challenges, this is what I want you to know. God is not rejecting you. He's directing you. God is not rejecting you. He's directing you into a spiritual insight that you didn't have yesterday. Elisha's servant yesterday saw nothing but the enemy. Then that day, he saw the presence of the Lord all the way around. After our son passed away, one of my very most favorite scriptures became so real and so alive to me. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I don't think I put it up there. Yes, I did. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. How many understand here you have a real life that is yet to come? It's a real life that is yet to come. Think in terms of eternity. Keep your feet on earth and your mind in heaven. Paul uses a present tense word here that means keep thinking in terms of heaven. Don't stop. Keep thinking in terms of heaven. How many of you have been going somewhere, but your mind is somewhere else, and you're thinking about something else, and you wind up stubbing your toe or something because you're not paying attention where you're going? In this case, it's all right. It's all right that your mind is on heaven, and sometimes you may stub your toe, or something may stub your toe in this world and in this earth, but it's okay, because here's the thing that you need to understand. You're going somewhere. You don't stub your toe if you're not going anywhere. I never sit on my couch and go, oh, I just stubbed my toe. That would be weird. Only stub my toe when I'm going somewhere.